nominate Neera.
Which are always by definition a little hard to discuss because it's not with Neera. But nonetheless, we can't be know-nothings on that basis. So we'll start with the first page of the Makoros, page 1, where there are two Gemaras we're going to discuss right up front, and if you have time, two more right afterwards. The first two Gemaras are Amar Rav Yitzchak Tefach V'Yisha Erev, towards the bottom, Lemat. Ilem Olitz Takulei Bo, Amar Rav Sheshet, Lama Mona Kosa Takshidim Shevachut, and Takshidim Shevachnim, Lama Lecha Kol Mestaka, the Ispektana Shal Yisha, to the Mestaka B'Mocham HaTorah. What do you mean Tefach? Even the pinky. Ella B'Ishto L'Krishma. What does that mean? If a man's wife is, there's no way to look at a man's wife, but if his wife is sitting right in front of him, and he's trying to say the Shema, and part of her body is exposed, so he may not say the Shema. The Rashi explains, the Yishto the Kriyashma, im tefach magula ba lo yikra Kriyashma kenegda. Now, something wrong with this picture. We don't believe in burkas, right? So there's always, by definition, a tefach. Her face is magula. So what do you say, tefach magula ba? So the Mepharshim explained, when we say tefach magula ba, we mean a tefach of the part of the body that's normally supposed to be covered. And if a tefach's worth of that part that's normally covered is in fact exposed, then the person should not be saying the Shema in that situation. Clear? Any questions? I'm just trying to read through the Gemaras. That's Gemara number 1. Gemara number 2, Omer Avchisa Shok Bisha Erev Hashanemar, Gali Shok Ivri Nahara, Tuxiv Toga Levasa Gam Teruach Erpotech. Fine. Shok Bisha Erev. Says Rashi, it's strange Rashi. Shok Be'eshes Ish. Strange. Erev Lihistakel, V'chein Be'ish Tol Kriyashma. So here, we're teaching us the Chiddush, that the Shok is an erva lihistakel. A little strange, don't mean lihistakel. Even espektana is a problem lihistakel. This Rashi is somewhat difficult. Even the pinky, it cannot be mistakel. We saw that before. That is a serious problem. So what do you mean, erva lihistakel? What does it mean? Anybody? Good question. Right. Well, we'll put it aside. Maybe we'll come back to it. Huh? So one possibility is good. One possibility that's being suggested is that shok is what we call objective erev. But that's a very nice point, but doesn't answer the question. In other words, even a pinky, which is not an erev at all, is also the stock.
That might only be if I'm not.
So different levels of the stock. That's good, but the truth is, within Rashi, it's hard to say that, because Rashi's coined the word lihistakel, which the Gemara quotes before. Okay, but your point we'll come back to in a few minutes. Adkan the two Gemaras with the Rashi. Now the next source is the Rosh on page 2, which is where everything starts from, with this Rosh. So the Rosh says, Simon Lamed Zayin, quotes the Gemara. The Rosh says, Lo Kasha, Ha Ba'acheret, Ha Ba'ishto L'Kriyashma. The words Ha Ba'acheret are not found in Shas Bavli. I don't know exactly what the words Ha Ba'acheret are driving at. I understand that, but it's not found in the Gemara. Led to actually to a misconception. Ha Ba'acheret. Some wanted to suggest Acheret means woman on woman. That if a woman sees the part of another woman's body revealed, she's not allowed to say Krishna. That's what they understood Ha Ba'acheret. And it actually makes it into the Shulchan Aruch Rashi. It's probably incorrect. All the Rosh meant to say was that for another woman, with respect to a man, of course, another woman that talks to his wife is even the Mashu with Usher, and Usher, even the Esfak Tana, or the Ishtar of Krishna. That didn't mean anything more than that. Okay. Then he says what's obvious. V'davar Sharago Lios Mechusa V'isha. We're discussing the Erva. It's only something which is normally covered. Not discussing the face. I mean, the face is ridiculous. Nothing to talk about. Then he goes further, the Rosh. Now the page goes over. The Dafka, the Atma, the woman herself, Farmina Liel, Isha Yosheba Saruba Vakosa Chalasa. So that's not a problem. Then the case of the Gemara of Shok is quoted by the Rosh verbatim, doesn't add, doesn't subtract anything. But Atkan, what the Rosh had to add, which is not fair in the Gemara. Okay. We should spend just a few minutes about the nature of the Easter of Histaklus. Where does it come from? The Gemara talks about it, doesn't say where it comes from, just says it. It's a bit of a problem to know what the source of this din is, and it's a matter of some controversy, as a matter of fact. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah can be found in page 8 of the Makoros. That's what the Shulchan Aruch has what he says. Tefach Megula v'Yishem Mongshe Darka Lechatzos. So quote in the Rosh. Afilu v'Yishto also because Krishma connect. That's fine. Ramo Yesh Omim Darka v'Yishto Abo v'Yisho Acheres Afilu Pogos Mitefach HaVeyer. Where does this come from? Can't tell us in the Gemara. How can you tell us in the Gemara? When the Gemara says v'Yishto the Krishma, the Gemara was trying to avoid the problem of the Easter Stachlis even without Krishma. So of course it had to say Ishto Krishma. But where do we find that with respect to another woman, that even less than a tefach is a problem with respect to Krishma? It's not found anywhere in Shad Bavli. We don't know exactly where the Shemot comes from. Let's turn the page to page 9. Comes to my goal, it's my minute. Okay. Then it says, he tells you where it's coming from. It's such a bold and almost impossible chiddush. The tefach b'isha erev afilu the isha acheret. Rakshe ba'atmi yichol alikros aval pishu iyaru chidaliya. That's how they understood. Dafka b'acheret, in counter distinction to isha kosa chalosa. The pashup charges is this lohoyed varmayolam. As a matter of fact, if you look at Mishnah Berurah, it's cotton, Chesi basically says so. The Rashi disagrees, and the Achronim, with the Yud Gimel, Datam the Gamma Rosh Moda Bazaar. Rosh never meant to argue. Fine. Atkan. Now it's important to understand that there are two issues in the end of the sugya. One is Krishna, one is the general prohibition.
Want to take one in?
One moment.
So if you look in the top line of the Mishnah Berurah, on page 216, page 9 in our sheet. Kozelo Iri Elegant Kisa Krishma. So Isu Laharbi Poskin Likros Negan Amagula Fila Below Machaiva in the Sakule. It just happens to be there, even if you're not intent on seeing what's there. Avogin Isur is Stakless, the Huliama, the Staka, the Isha, Fila, the Espectana, the Alagamara, Kamish, the Staka, Bo Lehonos, right? That's all this is Lehonos. Over! It's a violation. What? What's the violation? The Doctor Mishnah Berurah, the Lav, the Los, the Su, Akureya, Nechem. Whoa, that's a very serious prohibition. Lo sasu akrei nechem is a pasuk you all know from Kriyat Shema, and the Gemara says in the Sefer Brachos, many of us learn in Brachos this year. Gemara says akrei nechem zez nus. Apparently, it's a kind of a wanton stare, which is potentially leading to chalila v'chalila, and it says nus. And as a result, we say that it is a serious prohibition. A prohibition which actually may be considered to be in the category of Abizrayu, the Gilead, right? Because it sounds like those Sasuru is going to lead to Znus, and therefore may be a Harizayavah. Whoa, it's a very serious prohibition. This Chiddush of the Mishnah Berurah, that Mistak of Espektana Lehonos is considered to be a violation of Lo Sasuru Akarei Nechem, is a Chiddush. Not everyone agrees that it's true. There's a Tshuva Nigros Moshe somewhere in the pack. I'm not going to spend time on it now. You'll find it. If you find it, you tell me where I can show it to you. Somewhere in the back, I believe it exists. Where Moshe says, it's not true. Lo Sasu Akarei Nechem is only a staring with the intent to possibly commit Znus. Unfortunately, we know these things exist, right? A man is tarzing up a woman to see if he wants to be Mazana with her. And the truth is, this is a two-directional prohibition. The same would be true if a woman ties up a man with intent to mizana with him. It would also be a violation of the surah reining. However, Rav Moshe writes, and it's really the smach said it earlier, much earlier. Rav Moshe didn't have the smach. that if a man is looking at a woman with the intention to appreciate her beauty without any intention to commit zus. Zus is not in his radar screen. He's not that kind of a guy. Whatever it is, he can't do it, he won't do it. It's not the question. Just enjoying her beauty, this is not a violation of los asur atrei nechem. So why does the Gemara say here in the Sefer Brachos, that's called Dalet, page 1, that it's a serious violation? So Rav Moshe writes, it's a violation of v'nishmarta mikol dovar ro. The Gemara found in Subas and found in the Sefer Avodah Zarah, that a man should not see certain things by day, or even think certain things by day, v'yavol l'day tumma v'layla. And Rav Moshe writes, therefore, this is a prohibition which is limited to men, based on physiology. The man can be violated or saw zera levatola, whereas the woman cannot. And therefore, a woman is permitted to look at a man in the same manner in which a man may not look at a woman. If it's chalila v'chalila lo sasura achrei neichem, that's also for men, it's also for women, it's yohog val yavar, it's of Israel, gilia rayas, that's terrible. That's the intention to commit zus, or to possibly commit zus. A person's not interested in that at all, just seeing the beauty of the woman, that's a different violation according to Rav Moshe in the Smak, it's against the Mishnah Berurah. And therefore it's a violation only of Vizishmarta, only applies to men, does not apply to women, and presumably it's not one of the Gimel Aver, it's not a B'Zerah, the Gilei Arayas as such. It would not be a Rav Yavah. It's between Rav Moshe's approach, which I think is a more correct one, and out of the Mishnah Berurah, where everything is thrown in, not truth to be told. We can defend the Mishnah Berurah by saying, look, a person sees something which is without any intention to be zus, that's how it starts out. But it can end off, unfortunately, differently, as we know from world experience. As a matter of fact, there is a discussion about the very next line, V'riyah ba'amal afi tumo, below ne'ene, shari. That's called a quick glance, without any hana, without ne'ene, is permissible. This is talking about makomot ha-mugulim. What about makomot ha-mukhusim? Kota prima godim. Af riya ba'alma is asur. Even a riya ba'alma is asur. Now, what do you mean? How can you stop that? You walk in the street, it's going to be a riya ba'alma. So maybe you shouldn't walk in the street. Because it leads to a riya ba'alma of makomot, which is derech, at least normally the derech, to be mukhusim. The weather's getting warmer now. And undoubtedly it's going to happen to anyone walking the streets of New York in the next few months. It is a problem. We have to try our best to avoid it, to the best of our ability. Okay? This is a summation of the nature of the Easter of Yitzhak. Mishnah Berurah Shita and Smak and Ramosha Shita, which have significant differences between them, lahaloha. Any questions before I proceed? Yeah? That's what was already anticipated. Can the derech lechatzos change, or are there objective standards? Okay? So to answer that question, I'm going to pose a different question. Why does the Gemara say shok b'isha erev? The Gemara already said tefach b'isha erev. So why is it necessary to say shok? The last Gemara seems to be completely superfluous. It already says tefach b'isha erev, so shok should be included. That's a good question. The Prima Gadim asked that question. I'm not sure that may be the other Mahamad Gavin. Prima Gadim asked that question, what do you need shok for if you already have tefach? It should be just an example of that. Oh, here. Page 11. Just happened to find it. Page 11. Page 11. Question is, what is this all about? Why do you need shok? So we'll see in the Mishpat Zav Aleph, Tefach Shok. The age Gimel Perushim. So it's three Perushim, what do you shok for? Everyone see me? It's page 11, column 2. Right below it says I and A in bold letters, the third line. What is the Chidushi or Rashba? To teach you that Shok is Mokam Tanua Be'isha. It's not Tanua Be'ish, but it's Tanua Be'isha. Second shot. The Bach says, Shok b'ishto pochos mitevach avi'erva l'krishma. That Shok is such a mokam erva, such an attractive place, even less than the tevach is considered to be in the category of of Erva, as opposed to the rest of the woman's body, his own wife's body, where there is a shear of seven, less seven is permissible. Gimel, Rav Chista Balomar, Sibi Isha Acheret Pogos Mitefach Nami, Benokit Shok, Huadin Shari Varma Machusin, Ukagos Maimini. That is Agos Maimini, which we saw quoted in the Ramah. But for another woman, there's no shear tefach. Where does it say that in the Gemara? It says it in code word, called shok. Shok is another is a code for any woman other than your own wife. This is even less than a tefach is quoted. That's the third pshat, which is just it. The middle pshat is to say that even less than a tefach is shok in any woman, wife or other woman, would be an erva. And the first is to say a matter of fact that the shok is in point of fact of makom tenua beisha, even though presumably it's not makom tenua shabish. So they get three answers to that question. It's interesting. If Frank gave me, in effect, the fourth answer, what was your answer, in effect? Objective. That shulk is objective. It's a very nice answer. Only problem is against all three answers of the Prima Gona. You get an impression from all these three giants that the Prima Gona calls a Rajabi, calls a Bach, and the third one is from Agos Maimony. Giants. So every one of these Gedolim didn't hold me up, Shah. I don't think so at all. No. You're reading much too much into the Rashba. All the Rashba says, if you look in the original, is that although the Shok is not a Mokam Tanua, She Be Ish, that a man walks around with a Shok revealed, nonetheless, you shouldn't jump to conclusions and say it's not a Mokam Mokusa with respect to a woman either, no. But obviously, if it's something which is objective, whether a man is, it's completely irrelevant. The punishment is not that way. Anyway, I want to derive from these three gedolim that Ephraim is incorrect. And there is no such thing as objective erva with respect to the shok. I'm not saying even, you know, if you live in a nudist colony, that you can say Shema in all circumstances. Hospitalism. No, but the erva itself is for sure, welcome erva mamish, it's for sure objective. There's nothing to talk about. But even more than that, I want to suggest perhaps, a Chiddush, I don't want to read the Rashi's, the Yukim is Rambam that way perhaps, that, there's a Rambam here, maybe we'll have a chance to look at it. Where's the Rambam? Page 5. I don't know if it's here. Page 4 also?
Yeah.
4 and 5. You read the rule and get the better edition of all these things. Rosh, Rambam, much better. It says, Os the liquid keneged ha'erva, halacha tezayin, ashiyav dirpona. Okay, fine. The chol guf ha'isha erva, the last line. The entire body of the woman is an erva. What does that mean? Well, why define, what is he saying? The fichol ha'yistakal b'guf ha'isha k'shukari ha'filu isha. My Magula Tavak was the group of Yika Kenegra. What does it mean, Chol Guf? What are you talking about? He didn't say Mokom Shirigilim Lichatosa, which is exactly what the Rosh says. I'm going to say that. So I'm going to suggest a Chiddush. I'm going to use the word Guf in this context. He means what we call today in America the torso, the Guf, as opposed to the face, which is clearly not an Erva, as opposed to the hands. Clearly not erva. Close to the feet, which are also not erva. And I wanted to suggest maybe it even means the extremities in general, even the arms and the legs. That's not called goof. That's what I wanted to suggest. That the not only is the Malcolm erva proper in erva, but the chol goof ha'isha erva, which means the entire torso. I guess that's defined. I'm trying to guess from the collarbone on top, right? I don't know where exactly to draw on the bottom. It's a little bit hard to draw because, you know, the way the body is constructed. But we will certainly include the entire torso down to, I don't know, somewhere, you can figure it out for yourself. Somewhere, whatever it is, it's between the knee and the, somewhere between the knee and near where the legs break off. Somewhere a little below that would be considered the Gufa Isha, because that's where it's more, and then when it starts breaking off to the two extremities, that's where it's not considered a goofy issue anymore. That's my opinion. That's considered objective error based upon the Rambam sheet. However, it seems to me that the Zeroa and the Shulk are not considered to be objective Erev, and one of my riots is exactly the fact that the Prima Gaudim quoted three different answers to explain what you Shulk for, and then yours is not one of them. Oh, but the Mishnah Berurah is against me. I'm up front, no full disclosure. The Mishnah Berurah says, pages over here, was it nine? The Mishnah Berurah. Eight. Says the Mishnah Berurah in the Sifkot and Bay. The Mechaber already quoted the Rosh Dagal Lechatzoso. Ava Poneo Yod Yodeo Kefi Aminik Shederet Lios Begula Bosa Mokom Bechein Beparsos Regal Ad Ashok Huan HaMokom HaNikla Bela Kni Beloshen Ashkenaz the Mokom Shedakon Leilat Yochev Musa Likros Kinegdom Shekevin Shiroga Bahad Eina Bola Dehir Bumokom Shedakon Lechatzos Shiron Tefa Kamo Shagufa Isha Abel concludes the Mishnah Berurah. Zroosea v'shoka. Afila regilin lelech magula kederach haprutos. Asur. The old like you. It is an objective erva. And what is the objective erva? Two things. Zroa and shok. What is zroa and shok? Clearly you learn shok is above the kni. Right? That's what you said earlier. And the presumed parallelism that the zroa would be above the elbow. Yes. That's above the knee. That's above the elbow. That's the impression you get from the Mishnah Berurah and Sukkot Beis. That's considered to be objective error. Objective error. No. Let me ask you a shaila. Assuming this is true, the Mishnah Berurah is right. What about the knee itself? Kneecap is pretty big. Kneecap, something which must be covered as part of the shok. He says, "Ad a shok who has mokam shenik with kni b'loshen hashkenaz. Ad the ad bechlal is mutter, or ad the lo ad bechlal. The ladder reveals from the bottom up until the shok, right? Ad mokam kni, ad the ad bechlal, or ad the lo va, the lo bechlal. What do you say? The ad bechlal is also mutter." Let's go back to Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says that things are mutter. Al poneh yadeh kfi meyinig v'chein v'parsus regal ad ha-shom I'm not going to take a kni lo ha shadak al neyaluk yachet mutter likos kenegdan these things below ad ha-shom. That's a good, he's been well trained in the post scheme of 2008. You'll never find any post that will say anything different, not even once. When I was growing up a number of years ago, so that's what was one of the tumults he used to have in terms of the Beis Yaakov then. You have to sit down, you have to wear a skirt, you have to cover the knee, you have to cover the knee sitting, cover the knee standing, if you cover the knee standing, you won't cover the knee sitting. Is that mutter, is that usher? It was a tumult in those years. But 50 years later, maybe less than that, it's always tumult with hukhra la chumra, like most things today. I want to bring you right up a posuk that is mutter. A posuk. A posuk, the furish says mutter. Again, the fee, this understanding. Who am I pausing? Pausing, Chumash, not in Tanakh. Chumash. No? Yeah. You have a pausing?
No.
Oh, I thought you figured it out. A pausing before a shmash. It's a pausing on the Tosafot. But the pausing talks about the Shechin Ra, which would be on the Birkayim and on the Shokayim. It's clear from the pausing itself that the Berek, which is the knee, is not part of the Shok. Black and white. So it seems to me that if you were working with the assumption of the Mishnah Berurah that the shok is the thigh, then it seems to me that if only the thigh is also, that the ad should be ad v'ad almost, including the kni, because it's a berak, not considered to be part of the shok. That's what I would have said. The truth is that my real view is that the Mishnah Berurah is wrong mitchila v'asof. That the shok does not mean the thigh at all. The shok means the calf. They're not much worse. Better, much worse. There are riot brewers at the show means the calf. Chazanish quotes many of them. At the end of the day, he backs out because Gevalt, all the women in Bnei Brak are not keeping the halacha because they didn't follow Minig Meir Shorim, but they went with their covered down to the ankle. They went like the Nashim Tzitzkonis of today. They wear a dress or a skirt below the knee. And yes, it's true, they may wear stockings, but the stockings, can see through the sockets. You know? So you wouldn't imagine wearing a bodysuit with just like that. We wouldn't be very happy with that, right? So that would be terrible. So therefore, the Chazanish sort of backs out a little bit. But the Arayah's Bruce, I'll just give you one Arayah. It's a Arayah from Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch tells you that Hilchos Chalitza, that the woman, in that case, has to remove the Chalitza, sandal Shul Chalitza, from the shulk of the man. You ever see Chalitza? Maybe you saw it in the movie, you saw it in real life, but you know a little bit about it. Where does the sandal Shul Chalitza go? Where does it go? Only on the calf. It doesn't cover the thigh at all. And Shulchan Aruch Sprach, shulk certainly means the calf. Mishnah says, all those seem that way. The Rashba says, Eino Mokom Tzenua Bish. You think they used to walk on a gym shorts in the Rashba's time? Come on. The men, they exposed beneath the knee. Read the history books. Right? And the women didn't. That's what the Rashba is talking about. You look at the Pesukim. Pesukim and Shulchim. Shulk HaYorech. You get the impression that the Yorech is what? The thigh. Chamuke Yerechayech. Right? That has to be completely covered. And the shulk, you get an impression, is beneath the knee. That's what I thought. The push of shot. Of course, the problem is the vowels. What would do today's women? So may I suggest that the Mishnah Berurah may not be correct in his statement over here that there's such a thing called an objective error. I already brought you Uriah from the three Gedolim, gave a different teretz to the question when who needs shulk, and they didn't accept the prime teretz of objective error. But let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah's Uriah. He doesn't say it by his side, not from nothing. He says it. Between Uriah and Sharatian, Sivkot and Hay. Ken Kosov El Yerabo B'Shem HaRokeach Ayin Shom. I don't know. I looked it up there. I couldn't find it. I don't know. I didn't see it there. This is what the Rokeach says. Quote. Tefach b'bzara o b'zroseh m'gulof asur. So he says. Eli Rabbi says, what do you mean? Av baderech legalos ha'me'erva. Tim lokin ha'me b'chlal tefach. He asked that question. What does he need it for? What does the Rokeach say? B'zroseh m'gulof shita. It must be objective erva. No. I would have said along the lines of the Rashba. The Rashba says that even though men will sometimes reveal the Zeruah, women don't. Or maybe you always have to back by Shulk, even less than the Tefach. But I wasn't kidding. The Rokeach never said it to Shulna. The Diyak of Eliyahu was in the Rokeach. Of course, Eliyahu is not a nobody, but not from the Rishonim. Chai Adam said it. That's an accurate quotation. So we have Eliyahu and Chai Adam seem to be saying the Chumrah. The Chemucha of Bitsubas I am Beis of his Beis to Hudas Yehudis. That is true. It is Das Yehudis. But what is Das Yehudis? Do you ever look at Rashi and Subas Ayin Bey and depends what Das Yehudis is? Do you ever look there? Mm-hmm. Rashi is the Farish. Das Yehudis is the minig of the Bnos Yisrael, whatever they do. That changes. Why can't that change? The whole point of Das Yehudis that can change. Depends upon the time and the place. So, Mimokam Shavos, I bring a Raya Lakula, not Lakumra. So that was. Truth is, it's probably a machlokas among the Mepharshim on the Rosh himself. He turns back to the Rosh, which is page 4, 3, 2, page 2. Okay. It seems to me it's a machlokas between Tiferes Shmuel and the Divrei Chamud. Tiferes Shmuel's Machmir, let's read what he says directly, the last one on the page 2 goes over to 3, the last line of the second column. Pirish, Lafuke Mashaderech Noshim Lios Megula Kon Aponin Vat Savor Vayadayim Avon Nira Be'enai. The Mekil Sheregilos HaNoshim Legalos Roseyim. They wear sleeveless. Uregilim lios pasuach atzamach lezodeha. Unfortunate minig America. Zeo minig ra v'korani v'hem chukim lo tovim v'tefach v'isha erva. Despite the fact that it's commonplace. These clearly hold this objective Erev. I happen to agree with him halfway. I think the goof is objective error based upon the Rambam. The sum of the day would be a very serious problem. But as far as Rosem, I'm not so sure. I thought Rosem, but Gula speaks that view, this means it's subject to change. Who is Mekel on this question? I believe, if you look in the in the Divrei Chamudos, again it goes over from one page to the other. It's Kuf Tet Zion. Kuf Tet Zion. Dava Sharagalias Makusa. Quote the Rashi in Beis Yosef. Koner Yadav Raglea. The Shoka ain't even Klal Raglea. The Shoka is a separate prohibition. Amavisha Bish Magula. This is what the Rashi says. Okay. Mashkotzeb about Dana Yonta. Fine. Then Ken Gamzro Ser ain't even Klal Yadav. Umistaber Sibir Chamudis, the top line. Sibir Chamudis, page Tezva, page 3. The Chol Mokum Mokum Lefim and Hogo. All depends upon that place. The midi utama ella the dvarim shavigila shlo lichasosam lo mikri arba meshim dlo osi behuli day blank, like the censorship. Did they hear what you say? The cave and the rabba behu upila lekamon gabe kol v'seir. It's all a matter of what people are used to. It seems clear as I can read this in Divrei Chamudos. That's how the Kapachayim read the Divrei Chamudos this way in Sifkot and Beis here in Siman Ayin Hey, read it this way. That is purely subjective, it could depend upon the time and the place. But the machlokes of Divrei Chamudos is maker the way I suggested, and the Ferash Shmuel is machmir the way you suggested, and I wanted to be medayik from the Rashi in Gemara and Sumas Ayin Beis Lekula, the Shabruah is medayik Lekura, and the three other answers given to your questions to me indicate that they didn't accept your fourth answer, that it's objective. That's what I think. That's shayless the machlokes. Now, of course, if I'm right, we go back to the shok and say, yeah, the shok really means the calf. And Bizman HaGemara, the calf was usually covered, and therefore was a big problem. But today, if it's not covered, it's not a problem. Things can change. Yes?
In terms of defining what the Megillah is, the purpose of the Megillah is that people should be probably dating or set up. So, as a psychological woman, that in a place where people are lucky, or
what Ephraim is saying nicely is as follows. It's not the shot that people are used to it and therefore they're not going to be in the hero. They're used to being in a state of hero. That's it, right? Well, but they sell toothpaste with this, they sell cars with this. The whole world's dragging and selling about the beautiful women, and they're trying to get you to think about the woman and the male associate, the Chevrolet with the half dressed woman. And apparently they do marketing, their studies are better than our studies. They spend millions of dollars in marketing. It took a million to prove with Chazal a long time ago that these things are distracting and it's a problem. So you're saying it's not the pshat that they walk around this way and therefore it will not cause heroes. They're used to being there for Makom Shel Hero. In reality,
like
Chazal,
that goes before when they said that once upon a time, you can be this or something.
You're saying they're ruggles to be a hero. What are you saying? There's probably some truth to that. So that may depend a little bit on exactly the details. In other words, you know, there's what to be said in terms of sneers, things that not everything can be committed to writing. In other words, let's say for argument's sake, the woman, I mean, I'm trying to be as since we're on the record over here, which to be a little bit circumspect, but I'll try to be as bold as I can. It seems to me that you're going to find the woman, and sometimes you have a cleaning lady in the house. The woman walks in there with her sleeves are up to here, right? Does that make the Russian one people? I don't know, maybe people are wired differently, I don't know. So that's totally meaningless. So I thought, again, I can't speak for anybody else. But if, let's say, for example, that's one example that the Ferris Shmuel gave. But it's the Ferris Shmuel second example of some of the Dodel, that's a whole different story. That's the people are more curious to see what's going on over there. That's what the things may be different. They would be thinking different things. And, you know, things do change. And styles do change. And if my theory is correct, there's no need to engage in wholesale revisionist photography. which is one of the pastimes of today, where they suddenly add a few inches to the hemline or to the sleeve line. But how could it be that the Rosh Hashiva's daughter was walking around with a skirt which went above the knee, or with a sleeve that went above the elbow? I have the original. Can't fool me. So that's the way it was. And it seems to me that there was at that time that was the style. It was not, people didn't think that much about it, and it was okay. I do feel that it's much more tzniut than we can quantify in inches with rulers. I will pass on to you the remonstrations of Benjamin Zilber and others who complain that in towns such as Bnei Brak, where they're so boxed up, so they have to go down to here, go down to here, and they still have the Sahara to flaunt the body. They wear these terribly tight clothes. Shrek. Benjamin Zilber expresses himself in Oz Nidru somewhere. I'm not kidding, you can read it, it's there. That if a woman is dressed with a tight top, it's as if she's topless. Have you seen topless dancers? You know, so that's what Bnei Brak, topless is if you wear a tight top. I mean, that I understand. That I do understand. That to me is much worse than the more modern woman, if I may use that expression, who is not going to be so mocked by all these actual ruler lines, but dresses like a mensch. You know, I don't want to be caught like some American politician who said that, you know, you know it when you see it, but I think people in this room are smart enough to understand what I'm driving at. There's more than just meets the eye in terms of a ruler, of both sides. This would also help in another sense. There is a Das Yehudit quoted in Shas in Sefer Ksubis that a woman who's married has to cover her hair twice. There are certain communities which this still does. Satmak, for example, and other Hasidic communities, where every married woman wears a shetel and then with a pillbox or something else or other on top. You ever see that? You ever know why it is? Because the Gemara says it, that's why it is. There's simple pshat in the Gemara. You have to have two head coverings. That's a push of pshat. So there are many other ways to get around it. But one of the ways to get around it is to say that's clear at Das Yehudis, and the Das Yehudis is subject to change. That's my mahalach. That's my, I could be, I'm wrong. That's what I thought. Maybe it's wrong. Okay. Yes, I'm sorry.
To come from this, just to clarify, based on the understanding of the Rambam and Gok, and the idea that that community can change through time. So, hypothetically, if you come from the Solution Abbot, it's comfortable for a very short skirt that would not go off the Gok. That's considered step one?
No, slowly. So, if they wear, I'm not sure if this is the accurate rendition, but I think it's a thing called a bikini, right? And that mamish exposes the body, mamish. So I have no head for that whatsoever. That's gufa isha. That's objective error. But if they would wear something which would cover the entire body, but would be, I guess the best word for it is a miniskirt. I'm not sure the precise definition of the word miniskirt, but that was certainly a style years ago. And there's a tshuva about it. Rabbi Vazi, there's a tshuva about miniskirts. Yechavada, the very famous tshuva. Miniskirts are so bad, it's better to wear pants. That's the famous tshuva. Not that like pants, but better than a miniskirt. Okay, I guess that's that. The Rav and the Uto, right? Less of the two evils. So that's where you'll see that what he calls mini, mem yud nun yud. That's I think that's terrible. But, you know, there's yesh v'yesh. You know, there's the women who in the 50s, 60s, 70s would wear dresses until here. You know, right above the knee. And that was a very common, even in open court circles where they view themselves as being dressed in this knee. They didn't wear it until here. You know, just much higher up. So what's the difference? It's 6 inches, that's the difference. That's, or maybe more. That's a big foot. That's a big difference. Even though they're both technically between the knee and the whatever the other border might be, obviously there's a difference which is based on factors that you understand on your own. Okay. Yes.
Any difference between sleeveless and cap sleeves?
Well, if it's sleeveless, with mamash zero sleeve, it probably reveals even part of the goof.
And that's the question.
Where the goof ends? If left to my own device, I would say the goof, you know, whatever, you know, this is still part of the goof. And with the extremity, which sticks out, I guess you could draw a line like this. It sticks out, it's not part of the torso itself. I would say that's part of the ready, that's part of the drone. So sleeveless probably reveals the goof itself. But if there's a little sleeve over here, I assume it's probably, again, it's pure speculation. That's thing for sure. Yes?
In terms of pants against the mini shirt, how would that be better?
Better than pants?
Well, clearly better than that. Like, where does that, are we going to talk about like shirts and things like that?
No, it's not part of our topic. I mean, I can mention briefly that baggy pants are certainly better than tight-fitting pants. Going back to my old discussion of tight versus loose, baggy pants would be something which we should try to avoid because it's a piece of gorgliah, gnaila isha, the Gemara talk at the very beginning. But obviously, the more baggy it is, it becomes, sometimes they have these things called, I don't know if they're still stylish, culottes or things of this nature, where it's technically speaking it's really pants, but there's a flap in front of it, so it really becomes it's really a dress. So that seems to be okay. It doesn't matter. They say the Chazon Ish once had a woman who asked the Mishayla, she was waiting for a bus in the freezing winter, and it was just too cold. She wanted to have to wear pants. And the Chazon Ish supposedly answered her, of course you can wear pants, as long as the coat is over at all times. So, you know. Good. So this is this halacha. Once we're on the topic of the two head coverings, let's move a little bit to the topic of Sarabisha, which is also critical.
What?
Yeah.
On the arm?
Yeah.
The whole mission that sort of happens,
again, I'm not saying it's not problematic. It depends on where you are. If you happen to live in the Meir Sharm section, not only is a half sleeve no problem, but even a sleeve with all the elbows also. And not only is this a problem, even this is a problem. You have to go after the wrist. That's how they go in Meir Sharm. So most people don't live there. So if you live in a different kind of community, maybe there's more room to be a little bit more lenient. Again, I'm not, don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling you to go look for the place where there's the lowest common denominator, the least standard of sphere. That's not what I mean at all. We should try to observe sneers to the best of our ability. But what's an actual violation of straight halacha? I'm trying to be malamed for. Now, let's talk about Seir now. So the Gemara has Seir v'Isha Erva, the same Gemara that we saw on page 1. Seir v'Isha Erva. And we'll turn to the Rosh, who's going to explain to us again at the end of Siman Lamed Zayin, which is page 3, how he explains about Seir. Amrav Sheshes Sevish Erva Benoshim Shadakon Lechasol Sara Avol Bitzulol Shadakon Melech Pruos Mutar Zikos Kinekas. Famous Rosh says only for married women and not for single women. How do we know that women was Bitzulos go with Pruos Rosh? The Mishnah Ksuvah, correct? Remember the Ksuvah? The Mishnah. How do you know she's Bitzulos? She Yotasa Behinuma Veroshah Parua, that she wears some kind of a Hinuma, who wants to translate the word Hinuma? The Rosha Parua, but somehow it's still exposed. What? What? Sorry? What is it? What is it giving?
A veil.
Okay. The truth is that Seir, Beisha Erva, is a very, very tricky definition. We know it applies to married and not to singles. So writes the Rosh, and that's how it's quoted Halacha Shulchan Aruch in Siman Ayin Hei Siv Beis. That's again page 9, maybe page 9. Quotes the Din of Seir also the Kuskenegdo Apilu Ishto. Psulos is not a problem. Says the Mishnah Berurah, the very, very famous Mishnah Berurah. It's in Kotzen Yud. Tafilu, this is the first white line. Ein dakal lechasoso rak v'shuk, v'lo v'vayis v'chosim, v'chosim v'chal erbi, v'chulianfi v'vayis, v'osa shal nikos k'negda, in this galak tas me'en. The Tao, the filo of derech ishe zuv v'cha v'yoteh, v'osa v'okul nelech v'gili rosh v'shuk, k'derech ha'prutos, osa. Kamo the Indian Gilu Shoka, the author of Bakal Gavni, Canal to Cotton Bay, came as a Trichos the Chasm Asaros Mitaradin, the Yesh was an Easter Torah, made a civil Torah Rosh Isha Machal Shimachus, Shoya Machusa, Ganko Benos Shom, Abdikos, the Asmoshi, the Torah, Mizem, Mimosa, the Sena, me all about Asa Bakal Erbi, the also liquid connector, Lobo Mai, like the Sulo Shemutoros, Nedek Rosh Perua. Or a little bit sticks out of the snooze, that's a different story. Atkan, the Mishnah Berurah. Who knows who argued with this Mishnah Berurah? Who knows? It's world famous. Who argued with Mishnah Berurah? That's right. It's probably the most famous Aruch HaShulchan of all that he ever wrote, and all his voluminous works in Aruch HaShulchan. My guess is the one most famous line of all Aruch HaShulchan is this one, where he writes, I'm not sure if we have it. But the Ramesh quoted one of the Tshuvas that is certainly printed in front of you, that there are Hashulchan writes, Bavono Seinu Harada. He's not justifying what's happening, just recording what's happening in Lithuania in his day. Bavono Seinu Harada, the women didn't cover their hair. And therefore, it no longer has the status of Seir B'Yisha Erva. One day recite the Shema, Birchas Amosin, the Kiddush, in the case maybe a Bruch, a Shahakal, benching, even though the woman directly opposite him is a married woman. And she is not covering her hair. So that's they're all going that way. That's how it was in Lithuania. That's how it still is in certain communities in the United States of America. Things have gotten, in this respect, much better than they were, let's say, 50 years ago. I'm still unable to remember that far back. I was a young child. I remember moving into a very large community in Queens. A large community with a wonderful rav, hundreds of alabatim. And I believe, except for the Rebbetzin, there was only one other woman who covered her hair. I'm not talking about the doily shul, so by the street. So there was a total of two out of hundreds, and it was a Shomer Shabbos community. I'm not discussing the nominally all that. It was a Shomer Shabbos community, and two out of hundreds of women covered their hair. That's a wonder. It's going to be reality. Reality. And that's the way as I was also. That's just the reality. So the Aruch HaShulchan said, but when the Seinu Harabim, that's the way it is, so it's no longer a distraction so much, and therefore there's no din of Seir B'Yisha'er. It's not taking a ladder, not cover your hair. He's saying it after the fact. The man may say the Shema, may bench, say Kiddush, or various brachas, even though there's a woman in front of who's married, whose hair is in fact uncovered. So writes the Aruch HaShulchan. Rav Moshe, in the Tshuva, which is printed somewhere in front of you, says, yeah, but Aruch HaShulchan is correct, but he's only correct with respect to Seir B'Yisha'er, that's where he said it. It is not correct with respect to the other part. Let's say, for example, Zroa B'Yisha'er. That's, forget about it. That's not, even if everything goes that way, the Aruch HaShulchan should concede that's a complete and absolute error. And therefore, he passes the famous Shuva by Mechitzas and Shul, even though Rav Moshe's view, it's okay for men to see the women, which is, by the way, greatly controversial. Most people disagree strongly with Rav Moshe. The Mechitzas and Shul dimension to be able to see the women, as per the Pirush of Mishnayos and Masechet Sukkah. Won't go into that right now. Rav Moshe says, but the problem is they don't dress properly. Rav Moshe writes, if it's that they don't cover their hair, we should follow the Aruch HaShulchan. If they don't cover their arms, forget about it. You have to have an opaque Mechitzas, because otherwise it's a big problem. Atkan, Igret Moshe, and again, it's somewhere in the back. You'll look it up. Now, I don't like to be a contrarian. But in my view, one can argue in exactly the opposite direction. Opposite completely. I already told you that my view about Zeroa is leading in the other direction of the Mishnah Berurah. But Zeroa being Das Yehudis, the Das Yehudis is precisely subject to change. And therefore, perhaps it was not applied. However, here's my punchline. I'm starting to be such a naysayer over here. But, you know, what can I do? In my view, Seir is the reverse. Seir, which is the machmir. He's saying the imam is the opposite of Rav Moshe. And one can argue that even if with respect to Zeroa, we can be makel, as for the Divrei Chamudos, as the Kaf HaChaim understands it, my read of Das Yehudit. But Seir is different. Why is Seir different? So let's be honest about Seir. If Seir had the same status as Gufa Isha or as the extremities, would have to be usher for singles as well to marry. There's no distinction between singles and married in the way they dress in general. Khalilah. Right? Both are equally usher and mutz, depends on what part of the body was described. What is the unique situation about seir? So the answer is that seir is not something which is intrinsically attractive as are other parts of the body that are normally mechus. No. That would be a disaster. We require covering by singles as well. The other way around. All the parts of the body that have to be covered is because since they're so attractive to the man, therefore the woman has to cover them. What comes first is the attraction to the man, which means it has a status of erva. Erva is something that's attractive to a man. And because it has the din of an attraction to a man, it's called an erva, therefore the woman has to cover it, and therefore it's the Krishna, the whole story. When it comes to the hair, it's exactly the reverse. The cause and effect are completely reversed. The first thing that we learn is that a woman who's married must cover her hair. As a result of that, the Chazal gave it a status of erva. One more time to repeat. All the parts of the body that are erva, they're called erva because they're too attractive to men. And as a result, the woman has to cover it. When it comes to saying it's the reverse, the woman has to cover it. How do you know? Uporet, Rosh Isha, Parashat Sota, implied that before that it was covered. Before she uncovered, before the coat uncovered, it was covered. Once the Torah puts this law in the books, then if it's not covered, it has a status of erva. But what came first? The status of erva, the chiyuv to cover. All of these things is the status of erva. When it comes to status, it's the chiyuv to cover. Follow me? Other way around. That being the case, if I'm correct, then the Aruch HaShulchan Vazim won't help us at all. Won't help us. This is not the fact that it's distracting us as would be a woman who's just the half dressed. No. The pshat is that the halacha says the woman must cover it. And once the halacha says the woman must cover it, the chazal upholds the status of seir b'yish erva as a result of the chiyuv to cover. The chiyuv to cover exists even according to the Aruch HaShulchan in all times and places. And therefore it seems to me that I would have said opposite of Rav Moshe. That even if you'll tell me with respect to the arms that we have a right to be made because Das Yehuda is only what's normally done in that time and place, it's implicit in Rashi and Masechta Ksubis, and today in certain communities they don't wear proper sleeves. Okay, I can hear it. But now with respect to the seir, because the seir is the chiyuv to cover, which creates the shame erva. That chiyuv never changed. It's immutable. So it's a din d'oraisa. It can never, ever change. So the din d'rabbanan erva is also never going to change according to this reading. And therefore, it comes the exact opposite of Rav Moshe, that like the Divrei Chavudas and Shkaf HaChaim to be made with respect to Roa, etc., and like the Mishnah Berurah to be made with respect to seir against the Aruch HaShulchan. The opposite of Rav Moshe. That's what I'm suggesting. Everyone with me, Salva. Catch it? I don't know if I'm right, but that's what I thought. You want to know why did the Torah tell the women who are married to cover their hair? It's a legitimate question. Obvious answer is I don't know. We know reasons for the Torah. We know the reasons for the Torah. You know, you do know.
No.
Oh. Yeah.
How does the covering of the hair affect either husbands or siblings, or how does that shake up in parents?
You're talking about during Kriyishma or in general?
In general.
In my view, any parent, I mean, let's talk male here, right? A father, a son, a brother, either a grandson, a grandfather, blood relatives, in my view, the woman does not have to cover her hair in their presence.
And for brothers?
Oh, for sure. For a husband, for sure, yes. Maybe even for a father. Because everyone did have attraction. No attraction, really, to be there. They kill the Eitor for these kinds of arrives, right? But it's not an attraction at all. There's no attraction even to anybody. It's just, you know, on that level, of course, it's attractive. So the woman's face is also attractive. I hope her face is more attractive than her hair. But it doesn't make a difference. You're allowed to say Shema when she's not wearing a burqa. All right? So, yeah.
Couldn't one modify this slightly to support the Aruch HaShulchan on the beginning of this chat? We could say that the iser comes first, the iser of having a woman with regular hair.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
And because the Isser came first, it's not just because there was an Isser for Don interested that it should be Erebus, but because there was an Isser women covered their hair, because women covered their hair, for Don was an Erebus. Meaning, it's because you weren't used to it, because it was covered because there was an Isser. So it's no longer Chazal.
Yes, you are right. I want to say that you are right, but let me say it a slightly different way. And my view is that the reason why Tam of the Crow, right? Okay. Maybe it's more than Tam of the Crow. Tam of the Crow we don't follow. But I said on a different occasion, it's Tam of the Drushim. No Mepharish that you have to cover here. It's the Drushim, based on the Torah Rosh Yishu. And maybe we follow the Tam of the Drushim. And that is that in the time of Matan Torah, women of all societies covered their hair when they were married. The Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin that how do you know when a woman who's not Jewish is no longer married to a husband? When she removed the head covering. The Gemara, Sanhedrin. That was. So I often tell a story. I was at I heard the story, I wasn't there. There was a wonderful couple going back 40 something years ago used to make these social events in their apartment and west side of Manhattan. It was in the west, before the west side became the west side, but it was still the west side. So they made it beautiful, such noble thoughts, really. The women are getting older, men are getting older, not getting married. And they invited, 20 men and 20 women who were single, above a certain age, to come and mix. And they had a handful of chaperones. Right? Mostly women, they're better chaperones, they're better facilitators than men are in the rule. Yeah, a couple of men. What kept happening? That these married had better social skills than the singles. Single hubba Italia. And these boys are going over to these married and starting to talk to them. It was clear that they didn't realize that they were married. I'm sure they were proper, but still, when you're 28 years old, you're looking for a 25-year-old single, and she happens to be married to the guy that was 10 feet away, you're going to get in trouble. What do you think she's thinking? It kept happening. It was terrible. Obviously, because they weren't covering their hair, and they didn't know who was who. They made a new gzera. When you come in, when they made the next one, and you check them at the front, they asked, are you attached or unattached? If you were single, they gave you a lapel that had one apple. If you were married, it had two apples. That's how they overcame the problem. So I said to myself, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that's exactly what the Torah is telling us over here. The Torah wants, without any apples, and without any wedding rings are not a fairly recent invention, and you don't have to wear a wedding ring, so you don't always see the wedding ring. They want it to be obvious in a flash whether the woman is single or married. You feel differently, I hope everyone in this room feels differently with single women as opposed to married. Whether you happen to be single or married, obviously, if you're single to cover home, but even if you're married, you deal differently. We're married women, we're financial islands. And it wants to be obvious in a flash. That's my theory. That's why I'm not a fan of some of these shaitels that are attempting to obliterate and obviate any such visual distinction. That, yeah, sure, it'll be someone, it'll be human hair, and those know the difference, if it's if it's their own hair. That's against the whole spirit of the law, which may even be its letter in this case. I don't like those kind of, I'm not against shaitels, they're okay. The typical shaitel, even people like me, who are very, very unsophisticated in these areas, can tell when a by-and-large and a woman's wearing a shaitel. Does that mean I'm a balaver? I hope not. I mean, it just looks different than natural hair. All right or wrong? But you get these, you get these super duper shaitel machas, who know how to make it so clear that it looks exactly like her hair. So I'm not a fan. There's an interesting gentleman in New York. He was the number one, probably still is the number one shaitel macha in New York, not from one of ours. He started with cancer patients. He's a cancer patient. He's a studio somewhere. I think it's somewhere near Sloan Kettering. I think somewhere there in the Upper East Side. I think it's still there. I think I'm not mistaken. And his name is Ralph. Also, the first of my old, Bechol, he's top 5 towns. That'll be on that, I don't know. But certainly the first of over there. And one of my sons is married to a young woman who comes from that part of the world. And her mother had been a very loyal client of this fellow Ralph. And when my son became engaged into that family, he had a very strange kind of request that the when it's college, they go and buy a shetel, it should be clear that it's not her own hair. They told it to Ralph. Ralph was incredulous. What are you talking about? The whole purpose of my business, that people should think it's her own hair. Ralph was right. Ralph, not make a living, but I think that, you know, we have to make some kind of a compromise over here. And if you have a shetel, it could be beautiful, but it should be a shetel, a beautiful shetel, not to be confused with the woman's own hair. That's my theory as to why this obligation exists. And because it exists, then at the second level, the Chazal gave it a status of Erev. But there's three differences between the Din D'oraisa and the Din D'rabbanan. Yes. That's the problem. If there are no guests, then it's hetagama to go with the hair uncovered in the privacy of their home. Even if they have blood relatives, if their husband is there, to my mind, it's no problem. Moshe the Tshuva, who has also in the back, that sneakers and hetagama against the Chasam Sofer, fine. But if someone else walks into the house, it's not a blood relative, then at least where I come from, that is prohibited. That's exactly the distinction which is drawn in the Gemara between what's called a shuk, what's called a mavui, what's called a chaser, the whole sugya in the Gemara over there. If you look at the ritva there, you get an impression that these are not, you know, halachic categories of a shetirat, only shishin ribu over here. No one said, no, I don't have to tell me, no shishin ribu. That'd be the new one, right? So much a privilege of it. You know, that was going to fit into certain groups. You have no Rosh Hashanah as man is there, so therefore there's no shuk, so therefore you don't cover our hair anymore. That would be a nice Purim start. But the Pasha of Shana, it all depends on people who are there and not there. And if someone walks into your door, so you say, you know, hold on a minute, please. You know, I've happened to me many times. I knock on someone's door, and it was just, please, 1 minute, please. And in that 1 minute, I assume she goes and puts on a suit or a tinkle or a hat or a shetel, and she opens the door for me. That's the way it should be. So although there may be others who disagree with me on that, and even certain very notable Talmidei Chachamim, but I'm just telling you what I think based upon the Ritva, that the hair should be covered outside at all times, and inside whenever someone else who's not your blood relative or your husband is in the house. That's the best I can say for now. Yes?
Doesn't the Torah preface that men should avoid women as much as possible, and that women should be as tenuah as possible?
The idea that women probably
didn't
say
they asked
this whole thing, because
we
said before, it's a leeway for some people who want to afford themselves more than other preferred. What about singles? What's your theory? That should also cover the hair, right? You're right. We'll see soon. He's Muhammad, one of the greatest giants of halachic history. Give me a minute. There's three differences, I believe, between the Din D'oraisa and the Din D'rabbanan. The Din D'oraisa obviously applies only to a married woman, not the woman who's formally married. To the contrary, she's formally married, but she wants to get married again. So why should the Torah require to cover her hair? She should take it off, demonstrate that she's now single and looking to get married again, as the Goyim did in the Moran Sanhedrin. But it's quoted in Poskim that at least on the Nishim Dash Yudit, the custom was that if, maybe even is, if a woman who was married and now widowed or divorced, she should continue to cover her hair. That's difference number one. Difference number two, where must the hair be covered? So the Gemara in Suba says, the Din D'oraisa is Beshuk. Because Beshuk, no one knows who she is. So people are going to start looking around after her, but she's really married. As opposed to her own home, where one can argue, they never know who the Balabas is in her own home. You know, so therefore there may not be a Din D'oraisa to cover her hair in the privacy of her home, or even the semi-privacy surely be a little beyond the home. And number three is, how much must be covered? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva, the level of the right that's enough to cover the majority of the head. But came along Rabbanan and said, you have to cover the entirety of the hair. Seyar b'isha, not rosh. Seyar. Ukara is rosh b'isha. But seyar b'isha. Rav Moshe's mechadish, it's permissible to leave up to a tefach exposed. That the same halacha we saw before with respect to tefach applies with respect to fair. And the interesting implication of Rav Moshe is that tefach b'isha erva means that less than a tefach is not only permissible for Krishma, but even permissible for the woman to go that way. That's what it sounds like from Rav Moshe's Tshuva, which indicates that even if you assume, for argument's sake, that there is an objective erva above the elbow, well, maybe less than a tefach would still be much. And maybe the same with respect to the knee, potentially, based on that Tshuva of Rav Moshe. Anyway, that's what, those are the three differences between the Daraisa and the Rabbanim. Yes. Oh, let's go slow. The source, very good. The source for is Paras Rosh Isha. Now, it says in the Mishnah that she's Yotze Behinuma Verosha Perua. What's going on over here? Here it says the Paras Rosh Isha indicates that a woman should go with her head covered. And yet, it says in the Mishnah that the typical woman, when she went to the chuppah, how'd she go? Verosha Perua. How do you reconcile these two? What's going on over here? So there are two ways to reconcile them. One is your way. To say that the chiyuv of the mad woman to cover her hair begins after the beard. And I'll explain to you a little different than you said. Because it's all based upon sota. But those who learn the Sefer Sota know that it says by the Sefer Sota, Mi bal adei yishek. It is kod meshchivas bal, meshchivas abol. No one is a candidate to be a Sota until they have to live with a husband, after the marriage is consummated. So one can argue, before the marriage is consummated, even though she's 100% married, she's in the Suah Gemura, Apos became perhaps, I'm not saying it for sure, but perhaps, there's no chiyuv upon her to cover her hair. Possibility number one. Possibility number two, no. It's Yosef Behinuma Barosha Perua. She can't just walk around like with nothing on her head. She must walk around, as they always walk around at all weddings when I grew up, with some kind of a headpiece which had a veil attached to it, and it was a, you know. Now, true, it's see through, and the true doesn't cover all of the hair. Afal Pikain, at least when I was growing up, they always covered the majority of the head. It started over here, went down to here. Covered them. Look at the pictures. Look at all the pictures. The wedding albums are, they're all over the place. You'll see the pictures of all the weddings until recently. Now I can't think of clients anymore. That the women always would go with a headpiece, it was all like this, and it was covered with a bedekin, and it was put back up again. And it would cover the majority of the head with some kind of a covering, even if it was see-through. And when I was growing up, all the kallahs walked around like that the entirety of the wedding. They didn't cover their mamish until after the wedding was over. And then they started the chumras. No, you can't do that. You have to go with your head covered. So they started covering the head in the yichud room. And then they said, well, even that's too late, because they were worried about the chuppah. They started covering, no one's covered the hair under the chuppah. So I read what boom. That I haven't seen yet, although who knows, maybe we'll be able to see it one day. But those who wanted to do that would cover their hair before they even got to the wedding. They couldn't even wear, have their own hair exposed at their own chasm. It's against the Mishnah, no? It's a talking about Mishnah. What happened to the Mishnah? Well, but that's what's going on in the rest of the world today. That's what's happening. So what's chat in the minute that I'm describing, which I always thought existed, here's the answer. On a Daraisa level, it's enough to wear that little funny head covering that the women are wearing, even though it's see-through, even though it's only covering the majority of the head. So Rav Moshe writes, it's enough on the level of Daraisa. So the din de Rabbanon to cover the entirety of the hair, that they never instituted until after the wedding was over. Because they wanted to show Rosh Hashanah, Yotzim Rosh Hashanah, to demonstrate that it's the first marriage. There are those who go as far as to say that the din of covering the head taught by Amoson, and she covered her hair for a whole year, and then a year later when she had the nisuah, she took it off for that one night. Yeah, Gedolim said, Rabbi Kivega, Shvus Yaakov, the big people say it on that. That's already a chiddush to me. I would assume that rather than Amoson does not have to cover hair at all. So today we do it all together, more or less. I'm giving you my theory. That's why I'm opposed and upset with the newfangled custom, which went the other way. That's the new style. They come with the headpiece, you know that. Come out of the yichud room, nothing. They walk out for this whole wedding meal with the dancers. There was nothing on their head, zero. This we never saw until maybe 5 years ago. Never saw it. Even women would never come, they have no intention of covering their hair when they're married. None. But that was an image of a collar. Always was wearing that head covering. Rabbi Schwartz, am I right or wrong? I don't like, because maybe I'm a revisionist. That's what I recall. Always wore the headpiece, even if they weren't so from. The next day they didn't cover anything, but at the wedding. Now, people do cover their hair, starting that night, but at the wedding, they're walking with nothing. It happens to me in my, someone from my shul married a very fine girl. I was not the Masada Kiddush. And when that happens, I usually have very low profile. That's not my headache. The mother of the first came to me aghast. The Kala, her new daughter-in-law, is coming out for the pictures with nothing on her head. And it's frum. I really didn't know what to do. How do you decide? If I'm decide, I think I can say what I want. I'm not. There's another rabbi there. But I had luckily struck up a conversation with her yeshivish brother during the chuppah, and it was a lot of downtime. So I felt kind of wonderful. You know, I'm not sure if your sister got a sock like this or she's making a mistake. Where I come from, they always come. I saw he went over to whisper. She quickly went into the room, put the headpiece on again. That's what my 5 years ago when I saw it practice. That's when I started seeing this, and I see more and more of this. So I can justify it to your birth, but I'm not sure you're right. I would not want to do it that way. Okay? Good. Who is this great halachic authority to I appeal to? The Rambam! Again, figure it out. I'm trying to keep people guessing. The Rambam. The Rambam says that a woman is covered here, but knows she's royal. Right? He says, Achas penuyo v'achas eshetish. Rambam afurish and nechus to rabbi. So it's true that all the Ashkenazi achronim who are scurrying to reconcile the Rambam with our version of halacha, which you saw in the Rush, that says only women who are married must cover, they're not single women. So they interpret the Rambam as referring to a case of achas penuyo means a penuyo was once married. She's a grusha, she's an aman, maybe she's a ba'ula. That's the weird of the Rambam. And the best proof is that the custom in Taman, which was Rambam country for hundreds of years, was, and maybe even still in certain insulated Taman community, that the girls turned bat mitzvah start coming in. That's what you said. You're right, quote to the Rambam. They view the hair like we view parts of the body that shouldn't be exposed. Yeah?
Why is he talking about
Smith? You're right. Before about Smith, I don't know the exact, where do you start? I don't know. I don't think they, 3 year old goes in the sandbox. So I don't know what around with a tikkun. It's just not doable. So.
It could be that in Taman the minhag was just because the Arabs over there wore burqas.
Yeah. That's my point. Do you think that the Rambam holds the din d'oraisa for the 12-year-old girl who's just out of the sandbox that she has to cover her hair too? Where'd that come from? The only d'oraisa source that we have is Uparas Rosh Ha'isha. So about a married woman. So the fact that the Rambam puts Tanuya and Eshish together leads to an opposite conclusion. What's that? Come on, guys, say it. The whole thing is the Rabbanon. Now, if I said it, they'd hang me up from the light pole right over there outside. They'd hang me up. They're saying such a thing. But the true Masadeshin said it first. So they're not the ones that hang him. So I'm okay. The true Masadeshin is not, it's a side comment. He's talking about Yichud. Is Yichud the Raisa? It says, even though the Gemara says, Remez, Yichud, Manatara, that doesn't sound like a literally, and I'll give you a proof, covering the hair, it's only a Zinder Rabbanan. What do you mean, Zinder Rabbanan? It says, before the Gemara, it's called Das Moshe, and it's called Doraita. How can the Truma Zedeshin have the Ho'ozah to say that according to the Rambam, it's only a Zinder Rabbanan? So here's the answer. The answer is, it's a Zinder Rabbanan, but it's found in the Chumash. Uporah es Rosh Ha'isha. So you'll ask me a question, how can the Torah phrase itself that way if there's no absolute commandment by Torah law and she must cover her hair? It's a legitimate question. The answer is, the Torah speaks in terms of what existed bizman HaTorah. That sounds some kind of a apokursusha theory. That sounds a little bit that way, I won't confess. But I have a Tosfos on my side. And what Tosfos says the Kasha. Tosfos in Gittin, Perek HaShaleach. But the Kasha, the Gemara talks there about bringing Bikurin. It tells us the word Beit Sefer. So the Gemara dashes Beit Sefer to mean your wife's property. Correct Tosfos. What? The whole din that the payers of Nichsei Maluv go to the husband is purely their Rabbanim. How can the Torah speak of it in Beit Sefer, including the woman? Says Tosfos. Sure, the Rabbanim says it's automatic, it's by virtue of law. But the custom always was that way. And the Torah is speaking in, based upon the customs of its day. If you look at, in Rashi and Parshas Mishpatim at the beginning, and it's based in Gemara to the Sefer Kiddushin, the Torah makes reference to the obligation, to the reality that a typical husband would feed his wife, and a typical father would feed his children. You know, the Gemara and Ksuma say that they're likely the Rabbanim. So why is the Torah speaking those terms? We're talking about the... Rashi wants to be in a mishpatim that he undertakes the obligation of the Eved to take care of the wife and the children. So Torah speaks in terms of what went on in real life. The Kiddush Nifla, according to that Kiddush Nifla, the whole thing is only with the Rabbanim. And P.S. this we can really get hung up for, but we'll just say it in a little hushed tone. If it's only the Rabbanim, then in theory you change. Theory. Changes. Same way as we stopped wearing statma gear because they were down from 2 to 1. So in the court of the Rambam, it's only the Rabbanan, it seems to me anyway that it could change. Even though it's called that Moshe and it's called the Raisa, that means it's found in the Chumash, as opposed to other things that are not found in the Chumash. It doesn't mean it's immutable, it's not an absolute key of the Raisa proper. Whereas opposed to Shita's Rashi, when Shita's Harash, that the Rosh limits the whole obligation of covering the hair to marry, and the Posh of Shah is also the Dindaraisa. The Dindaraisa can never change. So this Dindaraisa that the woman has to cover her hair, alright, I agree. Dindaraisa may be limited to the majority of their heads, maybe limited to the street, but whatever, within whatever limitations exist, that Din can never change, assuming it is a Dindaraisa. It's all very important to understand. We are Ashkenazim, and it's not right for us to rely on any talking about the Rambam. It's interesting that a recent author suggested exactly the reverse. That according to the Rambam, it's a Din D'oraisa, because it's called Das Moshe. But according to the Turba Shulchan Aruch, when Hilchos Ksuba and Siman Kuf Tetzvav don't make explicit reference to covering the hair as a Das Moshe, perhaps the Shulchan Aruch may hold that the din the Rabbanan. I hold exactly the reverse, that the Rambam may hold it the Rabbanan, as we saw before from the Shulchan Aruch, whereas the Mechaber, which is limited to marriage, not to singles, here in Aruch Haim, we just read it, presumably would hold that the din the Raisa. Why is it quoted as Das Moshe? That's a good question. Das Moshe is only something which a woman violates which directly affects the marriage. She feeds and trades. Right? But if she decides to mechallel Shabbos on her own, that's not called Das Moshe. So here too, maybe according to the Rambam, according to the Shulchan Aruch rather than Tur, maybe the fact that she doesn't cover her hair, it's her avera, but it's not necessarily a violation of Das Moshe. So of course, she loses Ksuba. It's no worse than Das Yudit, but not necessarily Das Moshe. Yes?
How is it designed?
Let's first start with a fact. Truma Zadeshin says so. Before we get out, we stick our necks out. Let's tease his neck stuck out first. Okay, now where did he get it from? Doesn't say where he got it from. Yeah. I'm telling you, he may have gotten it from this line. When the Rambam says, "Al teilat the benos tshol kruas rosh pesuk achas pzuya v'achas deshes ish," assuming the pzuya is the Rambam, the Rambam puts them on the same breath. That's my read. Maybe I'm wrong. Don't know. Okay, so the bottom line is that in my view, as Ashkenazim, you have to assume it's a Din D'oraisa, which is unchanging. The women, didn't do it. How can it be that so many women who kept Shabbos and Kashrus and basically dressed for sneers didn't cover their hair for so many years in so many places? It's an aberration. You know, I don't even want to say, but no, the V.O. saying they were lying on the Rambam Shita. They probably never really heard of the Rambam Shita. But maybe a Kodesh Baruch had that in mind as a Limud Zchus on this. But today we have no right to go back to that system. Magam, that in most of the places where we live, Akshadara, the most people are coming there. Still shuls, not that far from here, but 90% plus don't cover there. I'm not oblivious to that fact. And we don't throw any stones, and we speak nice to everybody. But we have to assume that at least Rashinazim is an inappropriate behavior. Without saying anything to those who were, we don't want to be judgmental. You know, it's easy for people living now to criticize people living 50 and 100 years ago. Very easy. You don't have the discernment that they have. So, where were the Rabbonim? Where were the Rabbonim 50 years ago? Where were they? Where were they? They were fighting for Kashrut. They were fighting for Shabbos, you know? So the battleground shifted a little bit. They didn't have time to start the energy to convince the Balabatim that this had to be done. Okay? But we shouldn't advocate 50 Judaism like Hatzila. That's the new. All right, the Chumras. We have the new Shita now. Modern Orthodox are against Chumras. I'm more against Chumras than they are. But you have to know what's the Chumras. Okay, so we won't go into that right now. Okay. All right, Rabbosai, is it clear? Everything's clear? All right. Yeah, sorry.
Right.
Rosh.
And
then
again, it's the tefach,
the hair, maximum. Rosh, right.
More than
a
tefach, even if Rosh, the head, and
covers
the
tefach. That's a problem of Das Yudis. Now, in theory, if there'd be a whole community of people, and they all are very, we are halachic. another new phrase. We're a halachic community. And they're going to follow the din of covering the majority of the head. Ever walk in with a pillbox, you know, covering the majority of the head. But we heard there's a new option of establishing different customs beyond the absolute the dindaraisa. So we're not going to cover more than the majority of our head. So in theory, if all the women in that community agreed to that way of living, then I couldn't say it's an absolute prohibition. Because after all, that you would have said before could change. I'm not advocating the establishment of a new community. We'll call it Kehilat Peruat Chatzi HaRosh. We'll come up with a nice dramatic name to it. And we'll say, no problem, we'll have to set up a resume soon. Yeah,
does the
tefach
matter what's part of the hair?
So I thought, Rav Moshe says the famous, what do you mean? Rav Moshe, the average woman's forehead is two tefachim across, so she can keep a half a tefach up, half a tefach beneath the hat or whatever she sees. In my view, you can count a different tefach square in the back because they're not contiguous. They don't join anywhere. I think that would be permissible. Yeah.
Why would blood relatives be okay?
If you look at the Gemara, if blood relatives are okay, it's much more than that. They're okay. Yichud is okay. Kiruv Basar is okay. I mean, some of the again different relatives at different levels, but. Seems to me that there's room to be made. You want to be machmir? Bavakasha. Many women are machmir. The women are machmir. They don't want anyone except for their husbands see their hair, even though they're not machmir in other aspects of dress, in the presence of their fathers or sons or brothers. You know, they walk around. That's someone has. It's a thing with them that their hair is reserved for us. Very nice. Comes from a good source, but it's not. I don't think it's a real deal. Yes. Piercings?
Yeah. Yeah, organ is why that a lot of people who are getting more from it are too serious. I think a girl has one piercing in one of her ears, and obviously that's over skew. A girl has 500 piercings in her ears and her nose, etc. I'm not trying to send any general guidelines in terms of that.
If they asked me, there would be no piercings at all. And when my daughter wanted to have her ears pierced, I even opposed it initially. My opposition did not last too long. I was worried about Itzah Chavol. That's what I was worried about. Chavol? Chavol is the Itzah, which is, more Chavola for a good purpose. Foskama Maker on the Shabbat. There's a famous story of Baron Lichtenstein Shalita with a Shlomo Zalman. It was written up, I think, in one of the, the episode in Prince. I'm pretty sure it's in Prince somewhere. That when Rabban's daughter wanted to pierce her ears, Rabban would say, no, it's a chavot. They said, not Mekabel, let's go to, okay, we'll go to Rav Shlomo Zalman. This is where I saw the story, I think, in writing. They walk in together, Rav Shlomo Zalman, the doors are barred, nothing, and talks to the daughter, how are you, what's your name? And Rav Shlomo already sees that this is not going well. And then, what's the question? The question is that, you know, by piercing the ears, Rav Shlomo Zalman, in my family, they all pierced their ears before they turned Bat Mitzvah. It's part of the ritual, it's part of the tradition, it's part of it. So, he apparently held that it's a small chavala for a good cause of being able to wear earrings in a proper fashion for a whole life. So it's mutter. That's what apparently I got. I'm reading between the Shlomo Zalman's lines. But anything beyond the earrings, I think that's really a little much.
Problem.
There's a lot of problems in this world. I mean, you're going to do an NCS like 1 weekend, you're going to pull out all the piercings. You're going to the emergency room. I'm sorry. But I'm against them all. Yeah.
Someone once mentioned to me that a minhag, whatever, that a married woman wouldn't reveal her hair in front of her friend, a female friend.
Some of the women reserve their hair for the husband only. Even their female friends, they walk. That's not a din. That's for sure not a din. Can't speak about it. I've never been there, so I can't answer that question. All right. When do we officially end?
2:40.
We have about 5 minutes left. Yes, I'm sorry.
I don't know if they're up on the cover. Anything we should know about
Kol Isha? I want to talk about Kol Isha. That's the fourth Gemara. The Kol Isha Erva is the fourth Gemara in the spheres from foursome. And the big question is, what's pshat? Why should Kol Isha be prohibited? Why? Doesn't say. We don't know why. They call it a pasuk. All right, but what is the pasuk telling us exactly? It's really hard to know definitively what the pasuk means. The pasuk says, a famous pasuk, ki kolech orev umarech noven. So what is it driving at? What does it mean? So the Mishnah Berurah, I'm not sure if we have this Mishnah Berurah because it's clearly got cut off. What's the last cut we have a Mishnah Berurah in this in these things? We're missing a page or two here. No, we're missing. It's got a missing page. Page 217. For next time, we should put it in, okay? Make a note. And that's all that's missing. There the Mishnah Berurah says that a kol pnuya tahora is mutter. For immersion passes this way for choirs. You want to have a school choir. So until the age of 12 or maybe 11, if you know exactly where, until that age, immersion is matter. Because the Mishnah Berurah says kol isha pnuya tahora is permissible. But the question is, why? Why is it permissible? Why is it permissible? So, it all depends. Well, why is Kol Isha prohibited in the first place? There could be two pshat. Either the pshat is that the kol itself will lead to machshavas ra'ot, in which case it would be usur, even if it's a kol panuya tahora. That's the usur anyway. Or no. The reason is we're chalila v'chat afraid that the kol Isha will lead to znus. So back to our first paradigm. Los tzubach re'elechim. Kalit is nus. The Gemara does say Masech the Megillah Daf Tes Vav Yal v'kol azinta, and it could lead Kalit v'chas is nus. Now, Kamina might be, what do you do in a case of an isha penuya tahora? Now, of course, we pass in Alach Alamaisa it's also be mezana with an isha penuya tahora. That goes without saying. But if one Kalit would be nichshel in such an avera, it would be an avera of at most a low satzeh. Lav d'oraita, not beyond that. Could be the Kadesh according to the Rambam Shita, not beyond that. But we know it's a kareis, things of this nature. It could be that since there's no possibility of it's a kareis, the Chazal never uttered the kol isha penuyah tahor. Never uttered it. However, if one would hold that the nature of the isha, that the beautiful woman's voice will lead to machshavas ra'ot, it's completely irrelevant. If it's tahor or not tahor, penuyah or not penuyah, everything should be awesome. This machlokas achronim would seem to depend upon that, and since the Mishnah Berurah is making on the shaylach, they have a right to be making to say that's the reason for the Easter of kol v'isha erev. You say, Meinaf Gemina, Osim is Osim is Osim. What's the difference? Well, what about the call of a world-renowned vocalist? Let's start with this one, which is on a record. Let's take the following case. This world-renowned vocalist is no longer amongst the living. Is there any chashnus? In Tchiyas HaMeisim. And then he'll go look for him. To look for in Tchiyas HaMeisim. And say, who's that person who's singing so nice? When Tchiyas HaMeisim comes, there'll be some safeguards, I guess. So I don't have to worry about that. But in this world, it's not going to happen. So it shouldn't be a problem. And let's say she's not dead yet. She's alive and well and living in, who knows where, in California. And this guy's sitting somewhere in his living room in New York. And he hears a record of music. It's going to lead to this. Come on. And is this too remote? So much so. And the same called Hatznei Aleches, Rav Ellenson, the Chorin of the Racha, he has a bold suggestion. His suggestion is, well, maybe this will explain why some from Jews is going to the opera. Now, you know the opera, it ain't over till the fat lady sings, right? That's how, is that the right metaphor, right? Who is going to be mezana with this fat lady? This guy's sitting up there, yeshivish a guy, he's barely the cheapest seats, and up there. And this fat lady has 10 bodyguards, and she's singing in Italian. I don't know what she's talking about. And it's a chash, looks really? So Rabbi Ellison writes, however, correctly, that probably we should not be mastered because of a low plug. From the fat lady in Carnegie Hall, next thing you'll know will be the slim, beautiful teenager in the summer camp. I won't mention any names. And there, the chashas do exist. So that's it should be us the mishum low plug. You should also add, Rav Moshe says, that if a man is listening to a woman's voice and enjoys it, he should only enjoy it in a manner comparable to the way he would enjoy a woman's voice, a man's voice. In other words, people MBB, I don't know, I want to give any other examples. They like the voice of a male vocalist, and also a female vocalist. It's not anything erotic, it's just that he has a nice voice, she has a nice voice. That's okay. But if he wants to have kavana, from Moshe writes, Chelik Alef Simin Chavo, maybe it's even here. That if you're having the hanof and the shira, you have exactly the same hanof, would be a man, I don't know, a 10-year-old boy, seems like a 20-year-old girl, right? It sounds the same, you can't distinguish it. So you'd have just as much hanof as a 10-year-old boy, a 20-year-old girl, that hanof, I know it's an error. It's a voice, could have been male just as well. I both say, I don't have to go late, I'm out of time. We had some a little bit scratching the surface of some of the levels of sneers. We should all understand that the word sneers in its broader sense applies to men, applies to women, it even applies to non-Jews. The Torah says that there's a concept of higilicha oda matov in any human being, matzneya lechas im alokecha, and it's a link to wisdom, etznuim chokma. All of us should have the wisdom to practice proper sneers, and to be zocha to the gula shneim her v'yamein amin.